Welcome back to the Worst Premier Ever podcast. I am joined today by the usual bunch of reprobates. We have Gabby.
Hello.
Kath.
Hi.
Jake, and if you're watching, he has terrible, like, Bellatrix Lestrange hair going on.
Yeah,
it's hello. Not a good look.
I think it's worse than Bellatrix Lestrange, to be honest.
Are you going to audition for her for the new HBO series?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was actually, but now you've blown my cover, so I can't.
We've rumbled you.
And, I'm having a bit of a bad hair day. Sorry,
yeah, you can tell. And finally, Alex is out of action today because he's got another migraine. So we are joined by Nick, who is kindly and graciously taken over from him.
Bonjour.
Yes.
Hi, Nick.
Bonjour.
Hi.
Hey. How are you?
Yeah, and finally, usual spiel, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that sort of stuff.
Well, you're really selling it.
Usual spiel.
This is the tenth time we've done this now.
If these people don't,
if the people watching by now don't know that they're on there, I'd be astounded.
But you get new people watching Ellis.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it's on Apple, it's on Spotify, it's on all the major podcasting platforms. And if you want to see us for whatever reason, see my bonky eyes, see Jake's terrible hair, then.
Everyone
we're on
to see that.
On YouTube. It's Worst Premier Ever podcast. Come and have a watch.
Yep.
And now on to going from the bonky eyed thing, what you may or may not be able to tell us, I'm absolutely fucking knackered, and apparently Gabby wants to talk about sleep.
Well,
so
I thought it would be a good segue. Oh, okay, thank you.
Go.
No pressure, guys.
Now go.
No pressure.
Get on with it.
do you know what? I was kind of feeling this, and I was thinking this before we got into the podcast, and it's got big sleepover energy today. So you know
sleepover
what?
Sleepover energy.
Just snuggle in. Just snuggle in and get ready for the podcast today, because we're having a sleepy one. All right? We're going to be talking about sleep. We're going to be talking about sleepovers. Oh, that was the point, Nick. So if you watched last week's podcast, purchased some shirts with the intent to wear them to the gym. Now, I don't know if you guys can tell, maybe if you're only listening, but I'm down with the thickness. And part of that is that sometimes I get a little bit of body dysmorphia, and when I'm ordering clothes online, my assumption is that I go for the biggest size. The biggest. Mm-hmm. Because normally I'm like, you know what? I just want to be comfortable. I want loose fitting anyway. So what I did was I went for 5XL.
Whoa, Jesus.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, there's loose fitting and there's like putting a t-shirt over a house.
Yeah.
Are you trying to get a t-shirt for your fridge?
Exactly.
And what's happened, right? So first of all, it's a great shirt.
It's a good shirt.
See it. Look at the arms.
I thought mine was big.
Shit.
Look
at me.
That's a whole shirt and the sleeve itself.
I think mine's like a 2X.
You know that video of Wide Putin?
Yeah.
That's literally what I look like. And so I was like, And so like, I love it. It is so comfortable, but it's giving like big sleepover pajama energy.
Right.
So
it's giving us big wedding marquee energy.
So like, you know, I was like, okay, you know, it's fine. It's cool. I probably can't wear it to the gym because if I lift my arms up, you know how like hot air balloons, it's the hot air that lifts it.
So if you tie the arms up, get all hot, it'll like float up.
I would just float up through the ceiling. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, so I love the shirt, but it's definitely more like a nightgown now, I'm
curious,
feeling, because...
Maybe she's... What does it say on it again? Because people might...
It's currently saying, I'm not like other girls. I'm worse.
And that can only be described
as possums on it.
horrendous pictures of possums.
They look so cute. I love them.
I love that face is pulling. Just that.
Please kill me.
Kill me, mother. And so, yeah, they're great shirts. I'm tempted. Like, I mean, they cost a little bit because you have to get them printed. I'm tempted to get other ones that are not as big, but I think I've learned my lesson that, like, while I know that I am a chunky monkey, I'm not as chunky monkey as I thought I was. So, there's a difficulty in that. And I should read the sizes. Read the sizes.
Sizing guide is important because it's not the same for every single one. And that's something that annoys me, actually, that doesn't probably help the whole body dysmorphia thing in a lot of males and females. Actually, no, the other way around, sorry. Females and also somewhat less males, but like, fucking women's clothes, especially.
Don't even get me started.
The fact... like, okay, so with men's clothes, pretty much you've always got a tangible length or distance that you can measure, and then that is your size, right?
Well, don't they do jeans like that? So, like, men's jeans, it's in inches. Whereas, yeah, so, like women, there's an arbitrary size that changes depending on the store.
So, men's trousers will have, like a 36 is, like, the waist, and then they'll have, like, a 34, which is the leg. So that's 36 inches around the waist, 34 around the leg. Happy days! You can measure your waist. Mm. It's 36 inches. You need a 36-inch pair of jeans. Do the same thing with women's clothes on, like, in, like, dresses or, like, T-shirts or, like, anything. It ranges from, like, well, zero all the way up to 30 in terms of sizes, probably higher. Mm-hmm. But then, like a size 18 or like a size 10 in different will be different actual sizes if you were to measure it with a tape measure in different shops, right?
Yeah. Mm. So how can also people be actually in the same fucking store? Mm.
Yeah.
So yes. I've had experience of buying a pair of jeans from one store and comparing that exact same size to another pair of jeans that is the same size in that store. And there'll be a difference in
what
size.
Why can't they do the same with women's clothes and have like a number which is actually tied to a physical unit of measurement such as a centimeter or an inch, and then you know what size clothes you need to buy instead of feeling like shit when you buy your size in one shop and then you take it home and it doesn't fit.
It's a bit multi-faceted.
Because
they decided
because
they cut off like 2 inches. Mm.
Because the opposite can happen, because they'll quite often modify the sizes so their clientele will feel better. So, for example, a shop that sells to smaller women will have closer and will make their sizes lower for the women who are smaller, and vice versa. Shops that prioritize selling for larger women will make their larger sizes smaller, so everyone feels better about being a lower size.
How many people actually feel better though, and how many people actually feel worse in both scenarios?
That's the plan. Like, because think about it. You go, oh well, you know, I'm a size 16 here, but I'm a size 20 here. Which shop are you going to go to?
It's split in two. There's a psychological aspect and there's a physical aspect to this. Mm. And the psychological aspect of it is that within the brands themselves, they can do what Ellis has said. Mm. Additionally, beyond that, there's the discussion of consumerism, and that what they've found in a lot of psychological studies is that usually the woman in the household drive the majority of the household's expenditure.
80%, actually.
Mm.
80%.
Really?
80% of purchases are made by women, not by men, because they're more likely that the blokes tend to foist the stuff onto women, and they're much more savvy shoppers than men are. Mm. So they get better deals.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is, like, even when it comes down to household stuff, for example, if I'm like to, let's say we're in a typical, a gender typical relationship, and I say to Jake, our children require more storage. Do you think you could build a DIY cupboard? And Jake's like, I can do that. And I'm like, cool.
Definitely can't.
Yeah, well, yeah. But let's say, and I'm like, perfect. Can you get oak wood and blah, blah, blah? Because I want it to look like this. So I've already dictated what I want it to look
MDF,
like.
MDF, got it.
He knows what he needs to go out and search for. Mm-hmm. And his purchases, while informed by him, are driven by my needs. And when it comes to clothing, for example, what they do is they tend to have this disparity in sizes that drives the need to buy. It's fast fashion, really. But built into that, and what goes even a step further, is the physical aspect of it. And I'm not just talking about size, 6 to 30 or whatever you're talking about. I'm talking about women have different body shapes. Men have them too, but more so in women, because of their hips, their waists, there is a difference. You can have pear shape, apple shape, hourglass shape, anything in between those. Those are
most dudes are just straight up and down.
Yep. Yeah.
Legs and arms, jobs are good.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I tell you one thing that really bugs me with this, when you come down to like body shape and stuff like that. So I specifically bought the whole plus size fashion stuff is a whole other kettle of fish that's just bollocks. But I bought a pair of jeggings, right? Thinking, yeah. Oh, they're going to be real stretchy. Jeggings generally are a hybrid between jeans and leggings, yeah. If you didn't know. So I was like, they're going to be real stretchy. It'll be fine. So they were too big on my legs. Mm-hmm. Like, they were really, really baggy on my legs.
Yeah.
I couldn't get them over my ass. They had literally there was no butt mm-hmm. in these jeggings, and then they were like super baggy around my waist. I was like, "Who are these made for?"
That's quite impressive.
Like, generally, if you're a plus size, generally most plus size people will have a bit of ass.
Mm.
Yeah,
like
it's generally impressive.
Where's your bum going?
Well, I've known some who don't.
I used to work in a plus size store. And in that store, we were taught a lot about body types and shapes. And what's really difficult is that obviously those body types and shapes, once again, are a generalization, right? It's mm-hmm. like you all in between those categories, the subcategories. Bodies are going to do mm-hmm. what bodies are going to do. And, you know, the apple shape that they talked about are usually women who can carry like a bit of extra weight on the front, maybe in some of their legs, but they can actually have quite thin legs and like less of an arse. And so that shape specifically for them is more focusing on like how to build a wardrobe around your body shape to make you feel confident, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing that I really struggle with, being plus size anyway, and I know that we're inviting a lot of comments into this just talking about it, I think it's really important to like just bring up and have a bit of a discussion, is that like, I want to move my body. I want to move it in a way that feels healthy. I want to move it. Right now, I'm currently trying to get fitter, right? I'm focusing on being healthier and making choices that suit my body. We've talked about the PCOS stuff. We've talked about the whole insulin resistance, and I'm trying to do things to better that, right?
Mm.
I am a person who would suit having workout gear because I want yep. to move my body, right?
Yeah. Yep.
There is borderline none that I can find that suit plus size people. And it's
I am having exactly the same
so
issue as you right now.
Frustrated because I should be at the fucking gym. Like, I want to be at the gym. But for some reason, a lot of the ones that I'm finding are obviously, you know, within the regular sizes. And I completely understand that. That's probably your biggest market. It's where you're going to get the sales. You know, there's an element to that, the branding that I understand. But what ends up happening is because I'm a captive market, I am plus size, and I don't have as many options, I have to buy from places that will cater to me. And those places usually turn out being places like Shein.
Yeah. Mm.
And I don't want to support that fashion, yeah. that fast fashion. But there's no great alternative at the moment that I can find that would suit yeah. what I'm looking for. So it's, you know, and then I would love to shop at places like Oxfam or secondhand stores, for example. And but the downside of that is then also like not finding things that are suited to my body and what I need it to do. So until I get to a point in my fitness journey, in my healthiness, that I can reach there and shop at Lululemon and drop £100 on a pair of leggings that make me feel fit and fab, I'm kind of stuck with paying £2 and then dropping a bunch of emissions into the ozone because I'm getting some leggings flown over from China. It feels yeah. like shit.
On their own individual plane.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, why don't you just do like a shout out? You know, does anyone know in the UK?
Yeah.
Put it in the comments. Yeah. Like, if you've got a place.
I literally posted something similar on my Instagram the other day.
Oh, right.
Because I, along with these jeggings that I ordered, I think, like, between 8 to 10 pairs of leggings.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. None of them were not see-through. All of them were see-through. I was like,
what's the point?
What I know. Is the fucking point in these leggings? Yeah. Like, yeah.
And it's just a pervo who made them.
I wasn't wearing anything because like I was standing there and I could see my tattoo.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's not
so my tattoo's
want.
On my yeah. rib cage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it comes to like the bottom of my hip. And I was my general rule of thumb is if I can see my tattoo, it's too thin, yeah. girl.
Why?
You need other ones.
It, are people just like skimping out on the thickness of fabric to save money? Yeah. Like, what the
Maybe.
Fuck is this?
Or
is this
sustainable?
But like,
is
I
it?
Was, yeah. I just sat there like, I want to be able to material. Wear stuff to the gym. I'm going to be squatting and doing stuff at the gym. If they're see-through when I'm just standing here, yeah. are they basically just going to fly off my fucking body when I'm there at the gym? Like,
so
whoop,
good.
There's my fanny. Like, what the fuck?
Hey, girl.
Hello. She's just going to be staring into the eye of the fucking
Sauron.
Starfish. Like, yeah. what is this?
The ring of power.
Like, Sauron's going to be there like, oh, need that ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's
Make shoes that aren't see-through that don't cost like 45 quid for one pair of leggings.
I think I've talked about this idea before on this channel, and please someone take this idea if it's possible. You can just have this idea. It's fucking fine. You can just take it, run with it, make it. Because the thing is, like, basically, so Cap, you said that this pair of leggings, right, they were like, weren't right on the bum, they weren't right on the legs.
They weren't right anywhere.
Yeah. So, like, you've got your own individual body shape, as a lot of people, like, pretty much everyone on the planet does, right?
Yeah, I'd say I'm, like, pear-shaped at the moment. I kind of generally tend to sit between the hourglass to pear shape.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of other women that would also identify with that same shape, but your measurements will still be different.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, what I'm saying is basically everyone has, like, a hexadecimal code that measures certain points around your body. So, like, let's say you had, like 10-inch calves, for example, and then, like, 20... I don't know if these are realistic numbers or whatever. And then 20-inch thighs, and then, like, a 30-inch waist, for example. Mm. This might look like a character out of the Skyrim creation model, after just thinking about it.
Yeah, someone recreate this on the same...
Thank you.
And then you have, and then you have 1 centimeter wide arms, right? You'd have your own hexadecimal code that would have loads of different sample points across your body. So then you could then feed it into a machine, right? Like a 3D printer that would then print out clothes exactly to your specification. So then you wouldn't have to then go into a shop and rely on like one number. Oh, yep. I'm a size 14. And then you put it on and it's like way too big in the ankles, not enough yep. big in the thighs, and then like just right on the waist.
I generally sit anywhere between a size 16 to a size 24, dependent on the store. Mm.
But then you could
unless
be like,
you say sizes.
I sit between an A79X to hexadecimal number between these two ranges. Anything between these two ranges will fit me, but, like, perfectly.
Yeah. I think is good, but the concept is not brandable. Yeah,
they just said they don't want to spend 45 quid on some leggings, but you're saying have this, like, 500 quid 3D printer in your home.
But it wouldn't be 500 quid, and the reason why it wouldn't be 500 quid is because this is also part of the idea as well.
Yeah.
Right, are we ready? Wizards.
Oh my god.
Spell slots.
I'm talking about like invested. 3D printed clothes that you can like basically print at home.
Well, I think what you're talking about is fancy sewing.
Yes. So I think it might not be sewing. It might legitimately be 3D printed out of a recyclable organic textile that feels like clothes, but isn't actually knitted together at all. It's actually printed. What?
Which is cool.
Well, look, no. Okay, hold on. I'm not here to shit on the idea because this is the beginning of what they taught us in advertising. This is a good concept. The concept is good, but what you've done is you've pinpointed a problem. And you're coming up with a solution, but the solution has not been refined.
The solution sucks.
Well, no, the solution doesn't exist in this.
But that is
current science.
That is the beginning of entrepreneurship. It's the beginning of invention. Is coming up with the idea for the solution. So, if that's the case and you have it, cool. You could invent the thing. Or at least research people who are beginning to do that. But I think what you haven't done is pinpoint the actual problem areas of... how would you achieve that?
So you'd have... I'd get the scientists to work on it, but you need some kind of material that you could basically... Okay. That is printable.
I'd get the scientists...
Hang on, listen! There is printable, right? And then once you've worn the clothes, instead of fucking throwing them away... You basically can throw them back into the machine. They then melt down into whatever material that they came out of, that they were made from, and then you reprint them again.
Okay, hang on. But you want people to have this in their home.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, look how affordable 3D printers are now.
Jake, they fit to, like, the size of this keyboard. They're, like, 30 cents... How are you going to print a pair of jeans on a 30-centimeter size?
Well, how can you print off like 30 meters worth of A4 bits of paper? You just print it one after another, don't you?
That's not the way 3D printing works. 3D printing piles on top of. It's extrusion. So you have to have
clothes. Not the clothes one though. That's the clever bit. So it makes it like. It prints out the bottom, the waistband first, and then it slowly spits out. It's like a fax machine for a pair of jeans, right?
So it works from top to bottom.
Yeah, but that, you're just in science fiction now.
Well, I don't, it's not that, but I don't science, think it's that far
like,
away.
Look, I
think
I understand what he's saying, because science fiction, I mean, it's like with tablets. Do you remember at the beginning that a lot of that was actually the influence also taken from, what was it? Star Trek. I mean, there's, I don't think it's unrealistic to say that that might be something you could do in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, but in the home.
Well, I reckon in the home. I reckon it's doable because, like, it just makes you a pair of jeans. It just knits you a pair of jeans.
You're also talking about annihilating an entire industry.
An industry that relies on people feeling insecure about their bodies.
Mm. Yeah, but it also
to profit from. That's a good thing to disrupt, isn't it?
It also feeds tens of hundreds of millions of people. Yep. In countries where their job prospects are dog turd. So what you're saying is basically, fuck their entire industry. All those people can not have a job.
And all the people who work in just general clothing stores here, all their jobs are gone.
Yeah, entire world. Like, it's never as simple as just,
that wasn't the original
this solves
problem.
The problem.
That wasn't the original problem to solve. The original problem to solve was to make clothes
to
fit
all,
people.
But it all...
But that,
I
but
don't think it's that
well, now
unrealistic.
You've got unemployment.
I don't think it's that unrealistic. Because if you look at it, that's kind of the same ideation that people had around printing press and books and internet. It was this idea of, like, you're taking jobs away. But before it would ever reach that point, it would have to be consumable as a base level consumerist product. So I think it would be partially unrealistic for companies to allow you to do that from your own home, but you could go into a shop who may have purchased this hardware and then go, look, we're going to tailor fit our product we've created to you. And the one thing I think you're forgetting there as well, Jake, is the fact that people cannot be fucked. And what will happen is that people want to look at a thing, think it's cool and buy it. And then maybe go into the shop and have the experience of having that thing fitted to them. But I don't think they would go into it and then be like, okay, I'm going to get the what's it called? What's it called in sewing when you get the outlines for it? The pattern. That's it. Hmm. Get the pattern for themselves or go out of their way to style it.
Which is a job in of itself. People,
it's a lot of effort.
People who will literally just work on patterns.
Exactly. Mm. Yep. Fast fashion is there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Don't agree with it, but it exists. I reckon a more streamlined version of what you're proposing could potentially exist in the future.
I could.
So you'd have so either you see the thing online, or then you download the code, and then that goes to the printers, and then they print you out a pair of jeans, or you go to the shop that specializes in, like, we can make you this outfit. Do you like a look at it? Yeah, cool. Okay, we're gonna print out this outfit.
Now that
in your size.
I can see it as
that
a shop.
I don't think
for
it would work
stuff,
on a
but at home.
Yeah, I don't think it would work on a home level. But I think if you had stores, I think it would probably have to happen in places where there was a lot of money and a lot of traffic around to start with. So it would probably be places like Manchester, London, that sort of stuff.
It'll also cost a lot of money.
But it would be extortionate because you don't just have the people then who are designing the patterns for the clothes. They then have to 3D model that, essentially.
And I guess the question
then
is less effort
work out a way
tailoring.
that would be printed and put together.
Yeah.
It would need a lot of different types of skills.
The difference is that you're thinking about fast fashion is a single design that is then able to be created en masse via fast production, like modern production techniques, that is then shipped across the entire world and sold millions and millions and millions of times. These more like 3D printer style things, they're going to be very custom. They'll be small batches, small orders. The materials and everything else, the economies of scale just won't be there. When you're producing something to the X millionth degree, the cost is so small by comparison to if you're producing like 100 of that thing.
You have to make sure that your
3D printing thing was sold in huge quantities.
In terms of material that you go into this thing, this wouldn't be any like any other material that we know today that would require
alien.
Like, this would be some sort of thing that could be Either like knitted together or 3D printed on the fly, and then the pattern is applied to it as it goes through the printer type
you
thing.
You couldn't though. You couldn't have things like zips, buttons though, because that was all so manual that you like unless you've got a robot arm.
We don't need buttons.
Puts that yeah. It would all be like sportswear. You
know, this originally came up because we're talking about plus size stuff, right? Some of the things, especially that you would want to keep in mind for plus size clothing, is that women who are plus size tend to prefer, usually, or more often than not, since I've seen working in my previous job, an A-line cut. Because what it does is that it gives you more of a figure. The last thing you want is to go into a shop and buy a tent. You know, because
or a bag.
Yeah, because you've got no figure then, right? You want to create that with your body. And so with this creation, unless it became exceptionally sophisticated to the point that you could make like a peplum top, something that goes in and gives you a waist and then comes out again, or a peplum, like an A-line style dress, which would require actual tailoring around the waist and room for the bust and then going down again. That would be exceptionally difficult. If it was printing like a t-shirt, that would be far more doable.
Well, you're going in with the attitude of this is difficult now. This machine would eliminate that because you would end up with a very customized, very dissolvable.
Yeah, full 3D body scan sort of thing.
Essentially a 3D body scan, and then you think, right, to make this an A-line thing with this body input, would need to produce like 3 inches of material at this part, where in another body size might need like 2 inches, for example, to achieve the same result.
I think with the combination of machine learning, better 3D scanning technology, obviously a brand new hybrid, I'd probably have to be like a polyurethane cotton hybrid mix material.
Something like this, that.
Theoretically, is possible. But that's the problem. It is theoretically, and none of these technologies are anywhere near close to being able to do what you're talking about, but it definitely is a possibility. 100%.
I think the one that's furthest away is the actual printer or sewer or thing itself.
Yeah, definitely.
I think 3D modeling bodies and scanning them,
easily.
Very comfortable.
Already easy.
Writing an algorithm that would make clothes around that body to fit a particular way, very doable.
I would wonder
the other one isn't quite so doable yet, I don't think.
Yeah,
I would wonder if they would actually be able to modify. So obviously you've got like looms and stuff, industrial size looms. I would wonder if you'd be able to modify that to enable that to 3D print as it does the stitches off of it.
I don't think because when the looms, the way they do the for large stuff is it's the reason why you always have seams down the sides and stuff, because they'll do
they have everything there.
Check out that link that I just put in chat. So that's 3D printed clothes in 2023. What are the best projects? And if you go down, you can actually see there's a lot of people already doing things like this. Some of them are obviously plastic, which are, you know, but then you've got like a 3D printed cardigan. You've got a 3D printed tie. They've got footwear down the bottom as well.
I reckon this is going to be real disruptive.
A lot of you can get a lot of different materials now for 3D printing, especially flexible, like rubbery ones. So a lot of people are making shoes, which is quite cool.
I was just about to say shoes. I could see being a more realistic.
That would be so good, actually, because
they print from you go from top to bottom as well. That means current printing technology can do it no problem. Obviously, then all you have to do is have some holes and stick some laces through or whatever.
I can see a way that would be really useful for those within sort of podiatry and things like that. So say for example someone who needs particular arch support stuff within
build
the shoe
directly to the sole.
Like for example with me, I've got medically made orthotics for my shoes because I've got bad feet, but they've gotten even worse. I've now got something called plantar fasciitis and I need to rechange my orthotics in my feet. So it means that on the this coming weekend, I need to go somewhere for someone to take a literal plaster cast of my feet so that they can make them. But if you had something like that, you could put that imprint in there and have them like made into the shoe rather than having to be a separate thing.
Well, you could literally stick your foot in a box, have it 3D scanned, and then run that 3D scan into a modeling program, and then basically just do a what's Nick, you'll probably know the term for it, where you grab the negative from the space. So if you had a 3D scan of a foot,
and you say
put it in a box, and you grab the negative space from the box to the foot, so you got the proper arch thing, and you could just slap that onto a shoe.
Well, the computer could probably even tell you what you needed for your support as well. So it would see what your foot's like, scan that, and where all your pressure points are.
Mm. Exactly.
And then it would be like, cool, this is what you need. And then it would sort it for you and be like, printing off.
I can 100% see that being
used. Do you know what it's kind of like? It's like that absolute mad lad who used 3D printers to fix his teeth.
Really? Well, he printed out some
because,
teeth?
Like, let's say, for example, what's the name of that company? I can't remember. Either way, they do, like, the Invisalign. That's what it is. And they'll do, the scans of your teeth, and then they'll use the clear braces to kind of move them forward.
It's apparently incredibly painful.
Yeah, well, I know that Invisalign is probably not the best option, in my opinion.
Nice.
Thank you.
No lawsuit from you, Invisalign.
It's
just our opinion.
I've seen some stuff. So that's cool. Whatever. If it worked for you, that's great. But this guy basically was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it myself. And went and 3D printed his own Invisalign braces and fixed his teeth. Obviously,
I'm a 3D print my teeth.
Yeah. But, you know, you probably didn't need to go to a dentist to make sure that you've got a retainer that would keep everything in place. Because I know that once you did, but like he just did it himself, which is crazy. Yeah. So, you know, I guess what you're paying for is comfort at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And if it's one less thing for you to worry about, your clothes, you know.
Yes, exactly. And like, but obviously I think the way that I've thought about it, and I got inspired from it from this documentary
I'm shocked.
Yeah, your whole personality is just Netflix documentaries. Like, he's not even a real person anymore, guys. You're an inch away from believing conspiracy theories, you know that.
I'm a Black Mirror episode waiting to happen. Jesus.
The thing is, though, he's too intelligent to fall for those stupid
guys. The earth is flat.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched the documentary.
But it was from a, I think it was from a series called like Future Of that had the idea in there.
I think it's from a series called RuPaul's Drag Race.
They were saying that you could have this like 3D printer that could print out all the stuff. So like, I guess I said it was my idea, but it wasn't my idea. It was just an idea.
Comes out now.
I can definitely see it being a big thing.
But what they didn't go into was the 3D scan of your body that then could print out stuff specifically bespoke to your own thing. And then you won't have these instances of going to a shop, buying clothes that are apparently they're in your size, getting them home, and then you look like a wedding marquee. Like, it's just all the other way around, and it doesn't fit at all.
Well, part of my troubles as well is that sometimes I'll find a top that I really like, or trousers, whatever, then what will end up happening is that the actual length of the top will be really short, but the rest of the fit's great. And so that long line feeling that I like, I don't often find. And so that's what I kind of mean by the whole captive market aspect of being plus size, is that I personally am trying to lose weight, but I don't think that every person who is plus size wants to or should. People are happy in their bodies, and if they want to live the way that they live, then that's completely fine. But the issue that you then experience with that is that, like, you know, you have to really go looking for these places that sell proper clothes that can support you in whatever it is that you want to do. And so that's a struggle. And actually, you know, part of the mentality actually I picked up from Jake once upon a time is buy once, cry once, which is
I'm completely with you on that.
If you pay a lot of money for something knowing that you're going to get a quality product, I'm now completely behind that as well. I would rather...
It'll last as well.
Yeah, but I would rather pay £100 for a really good set of leggings.
Underwear.
No, but... genuinely. Like a proper good pair that would last me years, you know? Yeah. But the problem is that I can't. So...
Who has £100 to spend on leggings?
Oh, yeah, exactly, you know? But for example, I got a smartwatch recently. And for ages, I was like, I don't know if that is a good choice to invest in because I might just be throwing my money at it. And combined with my lifestyle factors of the whole, you know, forgetting to do shit half the time and not knowing where I am, it has made a massive difference to my life.
I find mine stupid and just leave soul as well.
Yeah. It's just like holding myself accountable, knowing how shit I slept last night, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, you know you slept bad, but now you know why.
Yep, that was a shit sleep.
Nice! Thanks, watch. And then you just crack on with it.
Yeah, I've gone down the... Because I don't even like particularly like buying new clothes either for the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Environmental reasons. Why buy new when you can buy secondhand? So I get everything I get from either TK Maxx or Oxfam now.
Yeah.
And I won't... Although it's going to sound like stupidly like up my own ass, but I won't buy anything that's like cheap and crap. It'll all be from some form of designer.
Yeah.
Because you're paying the same price secondhand as you would for a designer piece of clothing. It's quite often new as you would for like a cheap crap from Primark or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have something that's going to last 5-10 years down the line.
I hate Primark.
Well, I think it just says something about like the fact that it's you're buying something secondhand and it's still good to go.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Do you know what I mean? Who's shopping at Primark?
Like, you couldn't buy a secondhand shop at like t-shirt at like a fast fashion place.
Yeah,
because it would be in threats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
sorry.
And most people shop at Primark. I would say.
Yeah.
I would say the vast majority of people shop at Primark.
Whose bodies fit that? Like, I went in there.
I can fit everything there.
The shirts are so cheap. And I know that's probably not great, like, but...
But they're like crop tops. I went in there to get a shirt, right?
Yeah,
and it fitted fine. But the length of it, it was like showing belly button. Mm. And
that's the current fashion.
Mm. That was in 2019.
No,
I should not. It's not for men. I'm just gonna.
No.
Primark is great,
but
I have that same thing. I bought some Primark tees in the past. I put them in the wash. It's like I'm wearing a crop top.
Yeah, I've had that happen so many times.
Ass crack out, and then you think, okay, cool. I'll buy like a 2XL. Still shrinks. So then you end up with like it being the right length after a wash, but then it's like Gabby's tent that she's wearing at the moment, like, you know.
Crops and stuff are back in fashion.
I have definitely found a way around like buying secondhand and not supporting fast fashion and stuff. That even if you do like the look of some fast fashion things, go on stuff like Vinted. That's why.
That's true.
Go on Vinted, you can buy them secondhand. You're not directly giving money to conglomerates like Shein and Boohoo and ASOS and Primark and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You can still get some of the stuff that you want. You're giving it another life instead of it ended up in landfill.
Yeah. That's true.
You're kind of helping people who are maybe trying to do a wardrobe clear out or doing it because they haven't got a lot of money and they're trying to, you know, raise money and stuff for their rent or whatever. Like, you never know.
Yeah. I think like with Vinted and stuff like that, it's a really good option for people who are just trying to like clear out stuff. But like, it's really funny actually. Our mate Tess went to it was like a traveling secondhand market. And it's going all around the country at the moment. It's just like...
Yeah, I've been to a few.
Yeah. She was like having a read through all the clothes. And she was like, guys, I found Jake. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, sends this picture. And there is a rack that goes... It's like about 10 meters long. It goes all the way down to the other side of a warehouse.
Is it camo shorts, check shirts?
It's a rack
and band tees.
Of plaid.
Okay.
All the way down.
Yeah, I was talking.
Just like, and I was like, wow. And you do not realize how much is out there.
There's a lot.
Just your whole personality. Like,
Netflix and plaid
are really good.
So Netflix documentaries like, and plaid is me.
You literally get a black bag, fill your black bag, and you pay by the kilo. And I think it's like £10 a kilo. Where you can put as much in there as you want.
That's pretty cool.
So markets are That's just a really clever idea. Markets are cool. I love the trinkets. I have a little... I went to a secondhand store once and bought this cursed object that I called Ronaldo. And I think he's a gorilla, but I'm not too sure. And he's been with me for like 10 years. I think it's
a doorbell. Is that the gorilla in the lounge?
Yeah, you know the one.
All right.
And then I've also got Harambe, but that's a different story.
Oh, really?
But yeah, so I don't know.
There's some good shows though that are like promoting. Well, good show is debatable, but there are some shows like Love Island does stuff with their fashion where the people who go on there, all the clothes that they wear, it's not allowed to be brand new. To be all the clothes have to be bought secondhand off eBay, and they like advertise it throughout like the whole show.
Because
they wear like a stupid amount of different clothes every episode.
Yeah,
but they're all secondhand, and then they sell those clothes on again once like the show finishes.
That's really smart. But I love that you said there's some really good shows. And like,
I totally didn't watch an entire series with Millie, but it's all good.
And we sort of almost got there back when we were talking about the smartwatch, and you got into sleep again, and then somehow we managed to just go away from it.
It's difficult because we'll be talking about that fucking clothes thing for 500 hours, which is not going to work. Shout out to Jake.
What? Hey, it might work one day.
No, darling, it was just being very savage because it was funny. I love you. Sorry.
It's okay.
I have to. Do you want me to not bully you? Because I cannot.
No, it's okay.
What?
I'll describe myself to sleep later.
What do you mean, Jonathan? You have to bully him.
I know,
him.
But I like...
What you get paid for.
I need to check in every now and then.
No. You're part of the channel. You bully him.
Okay.
You check in afterwards once it's all over and done.
Check in on personal hours.
Chat. You know what it's about.
It's like this scene in Fury where like Brad Pitt forces the new tank guy to shoot the German. He's like, you gotta fucking do it. You gotta fucking do it, son. Yeah. He's like, no, I don't want to shoot the German. He's like, do it. Do
That's
it.
Literally
do
it. Someone can make that edit with like my
and
face.
And there's our opener. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ellis.
that's the clip beforehand.
We need to get the Fury clip superimposed. Yeah. Me above Gabby with Gabby pointing the pistol towards Jake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do it.
So
come on, Norman.
So on the topic of sleep, we opened up with Ellis saying that he didn't sleep well, and I kind of just wanted to delve a little bit deeper into sleep, have a proper conversation about it, and what the fuck is actually going on, because it's the more I learn about it, the more I'm like, this is really fucking interesting. The stuff that sleep does for your body. And the more I learn about it, the more I realize how shit I am at it. So, basically,
I feel that.
This smartwatch recently showed that I was having what we presumed to be apnea attacks in the middle of the night. So my blood oxygen level was just dropping off the face of the planet. Sometimes as low as about 82%. And some nights quite bad, up to probably about 15 minutes maximum. Other times quite good, about maybe like 1 minute-ish, right? So we freaked out a bit. Well,
hang on. They would spike down to 82% momentarily for about like 10 to 20 seconds before going back
up. That's what an apnea attack is.
Yes, but you I think that people might have been misconstrued as that like it was at 82% for 15 minutes.
That's what it was.
Oh, no, was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Looks like, oh, God damn, you've got to see a doctor.
Shit.
I don't know, what do you want me to tell you? It was low, and it wasn't good. So we went to a doctor.
It's like, fuck, it's worse than I thought it was. Like,
no, so it was, it was there for about, like, on and off about 15 minutes. And so we went to a doctor and had a sleep apnea test done. Turns out I don't have sleep apnea, but I have a partial collapse of the upper respiratory system when I sleep. It makes sense because 5 people in my family are diagnosed with sleep apnea, so it seems like I got diet sleep apnea. Sleep apnea light.
Sleep apnea light. Zero.
they got the premium plus subscription.
Yeah, I got
this here on the SD.
What is it? Aspartame.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So with that, there's a few things that we could try, but what I found out, and get this, right? This happened to me recently. I had a phone call last night with this doctor, and he was like, okay, well, I'm looking at your sleep chart that you've sent through. What I can see is that you're having these collapses when you go into deep sleep. So your throat is like this, right? Like this.
Wide, open.
When you're in light sleep, it's rigid. When you go into deep sleep, and this is for everyone, all those muscles relax and they become squishy. When you have a sleep apnea attack, those muscles just go, and that's when people go, and they can't
breathe. That's like closing it up.
Yeah. When it's a upper respiratory kind of collapse, it just kind of goes in. So I'm still getting oxygen. I'm still getting enough, but not as much as like a sleep apnea full on attack.
Yeah.
But also not enough compared to someone who doesn't have any sleep issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you'll, yeah.
So I'm talking to this guy and I'm like, look, okay, this is my history, this is my medical history, all the diagnoses we talked about previously, the ADHD and the PCOS and all that shit. And I was like, you know, I'm trying to lose weight, blah, blah, blah. I know if I'm not getting enough sleep, that after research contributes to insulin resistance.
And yeah, it does, because it raises your cortisol levels.
Yeah, but this is literally what he told me last night, Kathy. He was like, so what's happening with you is that you go into a deep sleep, the muscles relax. When they relax, you're not getting enough oxygen in. That forces you into a light sleep. It doesn't wake you up, it just puts you into a light sleep. When that happens, you're getting micro doses of cortisol throughout the night. Yeah. Every time that happens, you are forcing your body to produce more insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
He said you are literally gaining weight while you sleep. And what? I was like, all right, guys, I'll see you later. I'm fucking done. I was like, I cannot fucking do this, because like the only way to help with the insulin resistance is to make sure you get a deep sleep throughout the night. But because mm-hmm. I'm basically microdosing cortisol for like 7 to 8 hours at a time, apparently, he's like, it contributes to your weight gain. And if it's been doing that over the period of about 10 years, then, you know, just think right. how much that has, what's it called? Like,
affected?
Yeah.
Had a compounded effect.
Compounding effect. That's what I'm looking for, Kath. Thank you. Thank you. So I was just like, okay, what do I do? And he's like, well,
just don't.
Just don't. Yeah, basically, he was like, you can get a pillow.
Just be better, okay? Just try to sleep better, and that'll be fine.
Better. No, so I was like, okay, so you can get a mouthpiece for it. You can get a pillow. He was like, you could get a CPAP machine, but if you get one of those, it's actually probably going to do more harm because it might actually be more disruptive to your sleep. Mm-hmm. But, like, I didn't realize to the... Excuse me, I had a little cheeky hiccup there. I didn't realize to the full extent how much sleep has an effect on that.
It has a huge effect.
And yeah. I had no idea, like, I knew, but I didn't know. Like, and on top of that, like, the clearing of bad buildup of chemicals in your brain, things such as beta amyloid, which is, like, what they find in people who have Alzheimer's, how sleep just helps you to be an absolute better person. And
yeah.
I got officially diagnosed with insomnia after years of knowing but not doing anything about it. And so
you're
now,
like, what? You're joking. Oh.
What is insomnia? Me?
That is so, I'm shocked. Mm-mm. That is well shocking.
So that's something that I now need to fix. And I thought I'd let you guys know, because let's say in, sorry, I'm chewing on a bit of ice now. Cut the camera.
You gotta keep that in, yeah.
It's okay, fine.
Oh, that's not going anywhere.
Now that I know that, I, you know, let's say in like, I'm essentially being referred to a sleep clinic to try and yeah. help me. And in like, let's say 10 to 20 weeks' time, we touch base again on this podcast, see how things are doing. I'm gonna use this as like a goalpost thing and see, like, okay. What's
on
changed
episode 30,
in that time?
We'll revise it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that happened to me, and I think like after learning that and understanding a bit more about sleep, the first person that came to mind was Ellis.
Hello.
And like, I
let's talk about your sleep.
Yeah,
guys.
Because you like, would you consider yourself an insomniac? Because there has been times where I've been just like shit posting on the WP chat. Not being able
you
to sleep.
Have insomnia.
It's about like 3 or 4 in the morning. This motherfucker replies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like where we've been in New Zealand and it's like the opposite time over there. And like you put something in at like 3 PM New Zealand time, you're like, oh, they probably won't be awake. And then like Ellis replies like ding. 2 minutes later, like, lol. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, you're like,
yeah.
You pretty
yeah.
much operate on New Zealand time. Like
no, I mean, it depends. I get bad nights and sometimes it's fine. Like I was up, what was it, yesterday at, God, like 7:30.
Jesus.
Take Kath to...
Yeah, but it completely killed you.
I mean, yeah,
like,
but
you had
that
to come back home and then have a nap.
But that would kill me no matter what. Like, that gang of that. That used to kill me back when I was working full time.
Yeah.
True.
It depends on the night. Like, sometimes I sleep absolutely fine, and other times I don't.
I don't know, man. Like...
It completely depends.
The more what do you think,
who
Kath?
Sleeps next to you.
The more yes. active I am, the better I sleep.
Yeah, I will say that. So. I think as well, though, is that like Ellis is one of those people who I think gets into deep sleep really quickly.
Mm.
Because
oh, yeah.
there has been a number of times where like I've woken him up because it's time to get up. And he'll like grumble at me or say something, and within 2 seconds he's snoring again. And I'll be like, darling, you're asleep, and he's like, no I'm not asleep. I'm like, you're snoring, you're fucking asleep, my guy. And he does it all the time, and he'll swear blind that he wasn't asleep, and I'm like, Ellis,
that's because to me it feels like it's like a microsecond, because obviously I've just gone instantaneously.
Do you snore a lot?
He snores a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, really?
That's in the family, all of us. All,
oh, it's like a fucking warthog. Do.
Yeah, it's bad.
Does he stop breathing?
Not that I've noticed.
Okay, because I was like,
he grinds his teeth a lot in his sleep.
I don't wake up during the night.
Okay.
That you're aware of.
No, but yeah, I like, and I, when I do wake up, I remember it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he'll like grind his teeth in his sleep. Or like he'll click his jaw a lot in his sleep.
Oh yeah, I used to do that.
As terrible sleepers go.
I have a chipped tooth because of that. Like I used to grind my teeth and chip the whole thing off.
You can sit down.
Yeah. Well, me? Yeah.
No, Kath.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I discovered with my smartwatch that I don't really get into deep sleep.
All right, interesting.
So you know you're supposed to go through those cycles of like REM, deep sleep, etc. I barely get into deep sleep at all, so my sleep scores are always absolutely shocking.
Do you know why?
Nope. I also suffer with insomnia, and I suspect
No, you do not suffer with insomnia. No, you fuck off. You slept for like 18 hours last night. That is not insomnia. It's the opposite.
All right, so sometimes I'll have insomnia. Sometimes I'll have the complete fucking opposite.
I cannot remember the last time...
Parasomnia.
I went to bed before you in like the last 5 years.
Yes, but then I'll struggle to actually get to sleep.
And I'll that's true. You do struggle to get to sleep, but... You're also not one to compare to Ellis. No, I mean but, yeah, the amount you sleep, there is no way you could be an insomniac.
I've found lately that I need to basically at least twice a week sleep for like 16, 17, 18 hours in one go.
Yeah. And in those big, long segments, are you getting enough deep sleep to then feel refreshed when you do wake up?
Probably not.
Oh mate, you should do a sleep test, because like just going through Gabby's results were really interesting. What?
White Putin over back here away. Getting mad? You just called me Kath.
Back away.
No, I was. What do you mean back away?
Talking
what?
To the dog.
Oh, right. Virus oh my god, there's so much going on. I'm so good. Right. Fucking.
Too much stimulation. It's me, your girlfriend, Kath.
I got confused.
Yeah, evidently. My darling.
I didn't mean to call you Kath, sorry. I just got mixed up.
He actually looks embarrassed. I'm sorry.
I know, I didn't mean to I would have gotten Nick and Ellis' names confused, but it's the same situation.
I've called you Nick before, because your names both end in K and have four letters in it.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so that's fine. Everyone does it.
Yeah, anyway, so I don't think I get anywhere near as much... I basically put it this way. I have constant nightmares. So obviously that's going to stop you from getting... proper sleep, because you're constantly I think my brain is just constantly overworking. I keep a sleep diary, but I keep like a dream diary, and I can literally tell you like 2 weeks ago what I dreamt, because I remember every one of my dreams when I wake up.
You, like Jake was saying, I think you should definitely do one of those sleep tests, because they're really insightful, but you want one where they actually talk over the results with you.
Yeah, because the thing
send
is that
send me some links, BB.
Yeah,
they'll measure like a lot of things. It's not just like what your brain is doing. It's what your breathing's doing. It's what your heart rate's doing. It's what your blood oxygen levels are doing. It can measure like what position you're in as well, and then you can kind of correlate what level of sleep you're in with like with what position you're in and what your heart rate's doing and stuff. It tells you an absolutely huge amount of information.
Samsung watch really that accurate?
No, it's not accurate, but like it's not accurate enough to make a diagnosis for anything, but it still will give you a generally pretty good idea. But these sleep tests basically will have the one that we did on Gabby was basically just like a wristwatch type thing. You have like a carbon dioxide monitor that goes
on
your
finger. That's the finger flashlight.
Yeah, the thing. Oh, nice. Yeah, and then you have like a little thing on your sternum which you stick on, and it measures if you're snoring or not, etc.
Heart rate, all that.
And then basically you just go to sleep, try and get as much of a normal night's sleep as possible, and then it will measure like a huge amount of data that then gets sent back to the person who can kind of
help
you. Was
it expensive?
It was like 200 quid for the test. And then I think it was like 160 quid for the consultation as well. But like from that information, you can then find tidbits and insights and potential diagnosis that you didn't even know about conditions that you didn't even know exist.
And then from that,
you can just make like real, real small lifestyle changes, and it will vastly improve like your life, because you'll actually be able to sleep properly and your body will be able to function as intended.
Yeah, because this is basically what my doctor said to me last night when I had the consultation. He said, look, you are stuck in a cycle, right? And this is very applicable to me. It might not be to you, but with my body, what's ended up happening is that I'm in a cycle of lack of sleep, sleep deprivation, chronic, which is causing baseline insulin resistance combined with polycystic ovarian syndrome. That it's this cycle of like lack of sleep causes weight gain with the polycystic ovarian syndrome at the same time means I'm not getting enough sleep. Big circle. He's like, you need to rip one of those pillars down. So if you can do one of those things, it will help with a snowball effect on absolutely everything else. And so that's what I found really interesting about it, because I had no idea how bad or how deep this kind of went. And if sleep is helping you when it comes to exercise, processing food, mental health, it underpins absolutely everything. Like, I am now learning as I'm transitioning from my early 20s into my late 20s and now into my 30s, that do not let anyone fuck with your sleep. Go to bed, sleep, wake up, get a full 8 night. You out partying? Don't. Go home and sleep. Go home and sleep, motherfucker. Because it's like one of the best things that you can do for yourself. Like, oversleeping obviously is not good. Maybe get thyroids checked, all that kind of stuff. But like, just in general, I was like baffled by how much information I received from this one consultation. He was like, look, I'm looking at your chart. I can see here that you predominantly sleep on your side. And I was like, how? You weren't there, man.
I was watching.
Yeah, I was
you.
Like, okay. But
I think
saying that, you know, obviously it got worse when you're on your back and that kind of thing. So, and told him about the Alice, you probably relate to this as well. When I was younger, going like having that little like at my mind palace, you know, little stories that you make up in your brain that you'd go to, and it used to help me fall asleep. But now as an adult, that doesn't really happen. Yeah. All that kind of stuff, and they can just talk you through the whole thing and then refer you to the NHS for treatment. So it's the problem is the consultation. It's after the consultation that you want to start making the changes. But no, I just thought that was really interesting, and thought maybe, you know, talking to Ellis as well would be kind of good about it, because I mean, you sleep like shit.
I do. Yeah.
Well, both Alice and I do.
Yeah.
So like he doesn't sleep enough, or sleeps at really random times, and I sleep too much.
Yeah, the main thing is it completely depends on the day. If it's a normal day, I'll be in bed at like 2, I'll sleep 8 hours, I'll be up at 10, no issues.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine. But just sometimes, like last night I was in bed at 3 and I was up at 11:30, but for some reason I just feel, I think probably because, you know, driving 300 and something odd miles the 2 days beforehand, plus
it knocks you out,
plus I spent the entirety of yesterday working as well.
Yeah,
like it,
and we were up pretty early yesterday.
Yeah, and we were up at 8 o'clock in the fucking morning as well. At 7 o'clock in the morning as well. I had to drive again into Cardiff in the middle of rush hour.
Yeah,
like it's just
the smallest things can topple things over.
It's the build-up of stuff that gets me tired. Like tonight, I will probably sleep like an absolute baby, and I'll wake up tomorrow feeling great.
Yeah.
It's what normally happens when I get to this point. But just slowly but surely, a lot of little things can build up, and that makes me sleep worse because I'm doing more stuff during the day. Therefore, I want to spend more time relaxing in the evening to decompress. Mm-hmm. But I haven't got the time because it gets late. But I need to decompress before I can sleep.
I'm stressed
brain's
just hearing about it.
7 yeah. million miles an hour. So I have the thing of that I will prioritize de-stressing my brain to make sure I sleep, because at least if I de-stress my brain, I'll maybe only get 5 or 6 hours sleep, but it'll be 5 or 6 hours of decent sleep. Whereas if I go to bed with my brain stressed, I'll probably sleep for an hour and a half and I'll be wide awake again.
Yeah,
and then I've got to come downstairs for about an hour to discombobulate my brain.
Yeah.
So that I can go back upstairs. It's happened so often now that I even know. I know as soon as I wake up at night if I need to get up or not, because that I will wake up with a form of tinnitus.
Oh
really?
Yeah. So I'll wake up, I will be confused, I'll be tired, and I'll hear going on.
Oh my god.
And that is and if I try and concentrate on something, I'll just get overwhelmed by lots of different threads of thought mm-hmm. going on. And if that happens, I know that I've got to get up, come downstairs, make a cup of decaf tea, and just chill out for a bit, and let that. And once that ringing subsides,
yeah,
it tends to be that my brain has sorted its shit out, and I can then try and sleep again.
That's so cool that your brain has like an auditory ringing,
yeah,
to tell you that you
really
need to chill out.
It's just it's so like interesting because
it's like I've been to a gig.
Yeah, because yeah. I was during my conversation last night with this sleep doctor, I said to him,
"I'll be right back. I really need to pee."
Okay.
You guys just crack on, just don't have the camera. Thanks,
Kath.
When I had this conversation last night with the sleep doctor, I said to him, look, this is going to sound insane, but when I go to sleep at night, if I get really tired and I can't fall asleep, sometimes I hear voices. And it's not that I'm hearing them in the room. It's random voices in my brain that are not my own. It's not my normal day-to-day go to the shop type, get a thing of milk. It's like, you need to pet the kitten. Where's it been? How long have you been there for? And it's these random sentences. And he said, look, that's completely normal. What it turns out is that you're having auditory hallucinations, that when you have a disconnect from sleep because of insomnia, what you ideally want the body to do is to become tired, paralyze itself, and then dream. But what's happening is that when you have that disconnect from like some kind of sleep disruptance, you end up getting tired, dreaming, then becoming paralyzed, and then falling asleep. So like it goes in a completely out of sync order. And so it's like sometimes that's how you get like sleep paralysis demons and all that kind of stuff.
God.
Because you have sleep disruptance. So yeah, it's really interesting. And that auditory like tinnitus or tinnitus, however you pronounced it as well, that could be a form of that as well, is that you wake up and you know that you need to get up and you're having some kind of sleep, you know, the dream chemicals are still in your brain, but you're not fully under, and it just absolutely shits the bed. I find it so interesting.
Yeah, it is. How do you sleep, Nick?
These motherfuckers right here.
I think you and I are probably on the complete other scale and probably have quite... not many sleep issues.
I mean, I would say I'm like kind of really blessed in that where I'll be like playing, like I put a meme in the chat in one of the group chats today, like I'll play games at like all the way up to like midnight or something, and it's like a really super kind of violent high energy, and I'll turn it off and I'll be like sweet, and I'll jump into bed and I'm asleep within like a minute. It's like
5 minutes later you're sleeping,
gone, and then I wake up 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Done. Like
yeah,
I would love that.
How do you do that?
I think It's crazy. I don't, like, because I'm the same in that respect as well. Like I can,
I can pretty much
be asleep within like 5 to 10 minutes of hitting the pillow. Like, and I'm talking like completely out, and I will sleep through. I don't mean to brag, but I will sleep through all the way.
Totally,
until,
as
like,
a brag though.
It's a braggable thing. You know what? I'm
until 6:45, 7 a.m., and then I'm like, oh, I could go back to sleep for a bit if I wanted to. Or I could get up, which I usually end up doing. But like, it's not. I need that so fucking much, because if I don't have that, like, I know that I'm not me.
Yeah,
I'm irritable, I'm fucking grumpy. I'm just a jet bit of a fucking dick. I have no energy. Like, I'm just like it's got to the point where I need to prioritize that like above anything.
Yeah,
because I know I will not, like, for this job especially. Like, you have to be. You can't be any of those things if you want to be a content creator.
Yeah. I'm generally running off like. Probably 6 to 7 hours sleep every day.
Yeah.
Like, that I start to feel groggy when I wake up and I'm like, oh, that was too much sleep. Like, I can't.
Yeah, no, I'm between 6 and 8. If I get any more than 8, then I get groggy. But I've never, ever had a problem staying asleep.
I slept for 17 hours yesterday.
Jesus. Yeah. What
it's getting sleep that's my issue.
That's 3 days of sleep for me.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive on the going to sleep side, but once I am asleep, I will sleep like an absolute fucking log.
It's
I went to bed at I went to sleep at 7 p.m.
I was asleep.
And then I woke up this morning at about 11.
Mm, yeah.
I really hope, like, when we... Because this has been a bit of a health-focused podcast, I think. But, like, I really hope, like, us talking about stuff will inspire people to then go and do something about their own stuff. If anything we're saying is like, oh yeah, that rings a bell, I have that actually, or that doesn't sound normal, you know, or that sounds familiar, like, you know, because then at least we can actually help other people, like, who are in similar positions and stuff. So if you are one of those people, let us know in the comments.
I think it's also good just to...
It's nice hearing from you and nice knowing that we've had a positive impact on people's lives.
It's good to hear how other people live and do things that are so basic to existence, such as sleep, and it's just not really talked about or, like, protected enough. And I think that's something that I'm learning as I get older. Like, when you're younger, there's this element of, like, do all the stuff, consume all the media, do all the things, like, it'll be points,
stay up all night drinking,
yeah and, like, while I get it, and I've been there, and, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. Now I'm like, oh man, like, things are changing, and you know what, I'm not even mad about it. I'm not even mad, because I could be in a much healthier position in my life and be better and happier if I could do something about it. So, speaking of bodily functions, though.
Is this going to be what I think it is?
Oh, we're going to shit again.
No.
Yeah, let's go.
No, we're going to piss.
Oh, spicy.
Oh, yeah.
Mix it up a bit.
It's not that long of a story. Jake and I were coming home from the event that we went to the other day. And it was a nice trip. You know, on the way home, let's just stop in a McDonald's, right? We're starving. It's about 7 o'clock. We just need to eat, and then we'll go home, and we can just do our thing. So
was it on the motorway?
Coming station? Back, I think it was Reading.
Yeah, is it?
Oh, I saw the Reading as well.
Did you?
Yeah. The service is at Reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we went to that weird retail park like 2 miles after the services.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I stopped off at the services.
So we stopped off in the McDonald's, and we had dinner, and all was fine. And then, as you do before you're about to hit the road again, we're like, okay, let's go for a piss. And so Jake and I, we go down. Jake said he's going to go pee first. And I was like, yeah, sure, no worries. So he pops off, and I was like, oh, you know what? I should probably go as well. So I go into the ladies' bathroom, right? And I go in, and for some reason, when I go to close the door on the toilet I'm in, it sounds like wood is cracking from a tree. It's like, I'm like, oh God. And so I was like, fuck, that's a lot of noise. I was like, okay, be quiet. Close the door, sit down to go for a tinkle. Now, the lady next door starts pissing like a racehorse. It is frothy. I've never heard a woman piss like that.
Are we talking like if you imagine a hose with someone's thumb over it, but it also has like soap in the water?
It's heavy water landing in heavy water. Yeah. And all I was right. like, oh man. And it was super weird, because like, normally, in women's bathrooms, I don't know if you've experienced this, Kath, they can be foul. You can experience things in there, but you don't normally hear things, because women tend to be quite quiet about their things. I mean, I remember being in high school and turning on the taps, right? Then people wouldn't hear me pee. It was so common, Nick. All the girls would be like, can you turn the taps on for me, so people wouldn't hear them pee? They would just waste water. And it's like... Yeah, looking back at it,
it's
I'm
a different
like,
story
than
the guys.
Very different.
The guys' stories, people pride themselves on like going
the
up
loudest.
So you can fucking rip the loudest fart whilst they're taking
your
piss.
You sit there and go, fuck like, hell, dude. Yeah. You need to go to the toilet more often.
Wow. So I was like, okay, cool, that's fine. So this has been a bit of a weird toilet visit, no worries. And so then I come out, I wash my hands, and then I'm like looking for Jake, and I can't find him, and he's out in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I head out, and then we start heading towards the car. And then Jake's like, did you have a really loud toilet door? And I was like,
no.
Yeah, did you hear that from next door? And he's like, I went into the woman's bathroom. And I was like, was that you pissing like a fucking racehorse? And he's just like, no. Yeah. And I was like, no, it fucking was not. And so he was like, yeah, because like, I saw this lady in the bathroom.
I was not expecting that.
And I was like, oh, I was going to say I'm the wrong one. But you know, I was just like, oh my fucking, I was like, I wondered, because like, that is not normal. No woman pisses with such velocity. And I realized it's because he was standing. He was standing and pissing into the toilet. So it was because of the distance and the falling of piss. I was like, that was, oh my God. And we got into the car.
How did you go into the women's?
Because I was really tired after we did the event at the thingy.
And then I still walked into the blokes twice.
But I asked
them, Reading services at once near Cardiff, and I still didn't go in the wrong fucking toilet.
I was preoccupied. Did you not see that there was no urinals? There was like nothing on the wall. He's like, yeah, I thought it was a bit weird.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, it's probably just the layout of the restaurant. They probably didn't have space to put urinals in or whatever. So I was like, okay, no worries, because I was the only one in there. Then I go for a fucking racehorse piss, apparently, and then come out.
You are so lucky.
I was about to say that. You are so lucky.
And then a woman like walks in, like whilst I'm washing my hands and stuff. She didn't even realize. She just didn't even fucking look that I was there.
It's the hair.
Oh my God. But no, then I was like, I was tempted to say to her, actually got onto a cubicle, like, oh, sorry, I think this is the mess.
No. Oh,
she's like,
God,
that's a very masculine looking woman.
Yeah. Oh, so I don't know. She just thought, like, if she just either, she was a bit older, so I don't know if she just didn't pay attention to me, or maybe she couldn't see me properly or whatever. But then I walked out and I was just like, oh, that was really weird. And then I realized as I walked out, I was like, oh, fuck, that was the women's bathroom. I just was
lucky
not,
fucker.
I was just not fucking paying attention at all.
The hair has finally paid off. That's a hell.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This the racehorse pisser back at it again.
I'm not one of those people like, oopsie, I went into the ladies again. Like, no, like, fuck it, that's
just,
not
it
like,
was the calculation in your eyes. That. You could see, you know, the lady who's doing all the math. It was Jake when he was talking to me. He was just like, did you have a really loud door? And it was like, yeah.
Please don't.
Because I was like, it was proper loud. I thought you might have heard it from like Nick and Nat.
The other side.
He was next door.
Fucking hell.
Pissing it up big style.
The jonkest thing Jonk has ever jonked.
Jakest thing in the world.
This is the second time this has happened. And I remember this has happened before as well. I went to, again, it's just, I'm just fucking preoccupied. I see a door at the door, I go, this one's for me.
I've got a shit real bad.
And then maybe I did need a shit. I can't remember. Anyway, it was at TGI Fridays in Cardiff and St. David's too, right? And it was like kind of a quiet night. And then
until I started pissing
in the restaurant, I mean. And then so I go into this toilet, like I think because I needed to use the toilet, so it must have been for a poop. And then I was like, sat down and I looked over, I was like, oh, that's weird, they got one of those tampon bins in here. Men don't need tampons. And then like it clicked.
Oh, well.
As I was pooping, I was like, oh no. And then I heard a bunch of I think some girls came in and then left again, and then I was like, right, fucking, I've got to get out of here because I'm in the wrong toilet. So then I had to quickly go out, wash my hands, and then get the fuck out of there.
So were you halfway through shitting when you realised?
Yeah.
So you had
to
finish the shit.
I must have been, yeah. So I did the old cough technique where as it plops, you go,
the manliest
worse,
cough.
You could tell it was a man cough.
Yeah,
you
no,
really are a breed of your own, mate.
So, it's only happened twice in like 32 years. It's not bad.
Picture. Paint this picture.
Jake, do you have an idea how many times it's happened to me?
None.
Because I can read a fucking sign.
Change the point of view. You
don't even realize that you've done it.
There is a group of teenage girls who have gone out on a night out and they're hanging out with their mates and they're like, oh my God, let's just go into the bathroom. It's like, you know, let's go freshen up, whatever. I'm going to go pee, put the taps on. They go in there. It reeks of shite. And not just shite, man
this
shite.
This is a man's shite.
Which is a whole other level.
Oh,
and then
different.
While they're in there, like, oh my God. And I can imagine it. They're like, oh my God, what the fuck is that? And then they hear. They're like, oh my God. They would have sprinted out of that fucking ass.
Kabloosh.
Oh my fucking God.
So I don't, but again, I don't mean to be in there. I respect people's privacy, etc., etc., etc. I can definitely see how a male presence in a female bathroom would be unwanted and unwelcome. It's just my own stupidity.
Yeah, you still went in there twice. Yeah, a little paper.
Well, no, that's not. I'm not fucking going, oh no, here go my lady's toilet. It's like
there's another intro.
I'm not
going
to lie.
Well, I mean,
genuine accident.
You're nasty boy.
I'm pretty sure there was another woman in that bathroom. So it was me, you, and another lady in that toilet.
Yeah, the other lady was the one.
She must have heard the piss as well.
No. I was the only one in there because all the cubicles were free. You then went into the one left of me.
No, to the right of you. Were you in the middle? It was,
I can't remember.
Because if you were not in the middle, that piss was far louder than what I thought it was.
I would have been in the middle.
Right. Or maybe there was, I was to the right of you, and there was a lady to the left.
There might have been four doors. I think I was in the second one.
Under the cubicles?
Oh, yeah, probably.
So
yeah.
If there's a woman next to you who's just hearing this flow and seeing standing feet facing the toilet.
Actually, anyway. That reminds me. When I was in Canada, I went on holiday there. And I was like, I went to a public bathroom. And for some reason, I think this is quite common in America as well. They have tiny little gaps in the cubicles.
Mm. Oh yeah,
it's
in the door.
The actual door in the between door. The door and the frame,
yes.
Right?
Oh yeah. I think it's. Yeah. I don't know if it's a safety
horrendous.
Thing, but there was a cleaner. I remember one time I was just like, I was going to the toilet, and then this cleaner was just mopping up, and then all of a sudden I saw this little eye appear between the slit, and she's just she goes
no,
always pissing on the floor. and I was like, what? and she said
this
it last.
This is not how you take
like,
a piss.
She pronounced P with a B. She was like, always a bissing on the floor. And I was like, who's bissing on the floor? I was just like, right. And I like cleaned up and left. And I said to my friend at the time, I was just like, what the fuck was that about? I have never experienced anything like that before.
Oh
apart
God,
from the one time
so
a
good.
Child crawled into weird. The cubicle. That was weird.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Yeah, fuck that. Because I've seen cubicles like that. And I'm like, dude, why is there a fucking gap?
Yeah.
Like, why could people see me? This is the whole point of having a door. You don't have a door if you can
it's
see
so
through the door, right?
It was like when we were going through LAX on the way to New Zealand, it was like that we went to the toilets and I had my eyes like trained on that the entire time. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
I was like, someone is going to peep on me.
I know. It's so weird. I like, the thing is, okay, another thing though with children is that they know no boundaries and parents, like when they're that overwhelmed, they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I was in this mall bathroom and I was going for a piss and this child crawled underneath my cubicle.
I've had that happen to me before.
Oh
and I kind of was like, no.
Kick him back under.
And I got my foot and I kind of kicked them out. like it wasn't a full
yeah,
kick.
Yeah, I've definitely done that. You know where you can put your foot out and like slide a kid out the way with your foot?
Yeah.
Like
it
that.
Was I know that
like...
sounds like I do that on the regular.
you know when you get your foot, but you basically don't kick them.
So you don't
them,
kick
you just...
them, you just use the weight of your leg to slide them out the way.
Yes.
Very fast.
Yeah.
Against
the wall.
I've done that a few times. I've actually had it happen a few times where the kid has like come under the door and I'm like, no.
Fuck off.
Yeah, don't no.
leave.
Yeah. I've kind of gone, oh, what are you doing there? And they're looking at me like, bah, 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 and I'm like, someone collect the fucking child.
Yeah, just get your demon baby. Like, I put my foot against, I think it was like either its shoulder or its side, and I was just like, push.
Nope.
And I just like rolled this kid out back onto the thing, and someone was like, oh my God. And they collected the child and ran off. But it was just like, fucking, you know. Oh,
sort
keep an eye on your fucking kids.
Yeah. Well, I can understand child leashes now, to be honest. Like,
oh yeah, 100%.
Like, you still can be like, oh, who would do that? You're like, I get it.
I get it.
Hook him up at the toilet door like a horse.
Just dangling like yeah.
Kind of like when you see kids like having an atomic wedgie. Just do that with with the lead. Just pop them on the back of the door like straight.
Just arms flailing.
That kid's gonna scare the shit out of whoever uses the cubicle. Yeah. The person will close the door.
Open the door.
Like,
that's like a Dark Souls boss.
Yeah, exactly. Turbo wedgie kid.
Oh my God.
Hey, if it keeps that kid away from my fucking toilet cubicle whilst I'm dropping ass because I decided to eat cheese at lunchtime, you know, like.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that kid rolled out with pink eye. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're crawling under.
Yeah.
What just happened there, Nick?
Oh my God.
Look, I'm moving house, right? And. I packed all my stands. I didn't know I was going to be on the freaking podcast today. So my light just fell down.
Is it like held up with duct tape and stuff?
Yes.
Nice, cool. So the next time you see Nick, he might be in his brand new day.
Yeah. Brand new swanky apartment in London.
Swanky. London.
Has it actually finally all gone through now?
Yeah. Moving in tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
completion's tomorrow, so yes.
Good shit.
Completion. I only took a year of painstaking tears. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Many tears. Much depression.
I laughed too hard at my own joke, but it was funny, so whatever.
Oh, man. Oh, good on you, dude. We'll have to come and see it when it's all ready.
Yeah.
All right. Invite yourself to his house.
Yeah, right. I was thinking.
Rude.
All right.
I think I'm giving you my address.
You guys can come as well.
Yeah.
All right. Me, Gabby, Kath, and Ellis will come and visit your house.
Actually, that's a good point. Does Nick need to update his address with the business?
There's totally something we should talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
My new address is
anyway.
Yeah. What? Sorry. What is your new address?
Well, it is. Yeah.
It is 69.
I changed my phone number as well.
Oh man.
And your full and last name.
Yeah. What's your national insurance
number? National insurance number. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really exciting.
Okay. Well, are you all packed up then, or what?
Like pretty much everything but my computer. So like once we're done here. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm off the grid for like, nice, nice. For like
a
weekend.
Yeah. I'm in my own lane.
Yay. Oh, that's
yeah, that's really cool.
Congrats.
Thank
I know.
You. Thank you.
It's a big deal.
It has been huge. The worst experience of my life.
Yeah.
Not surprised.
It has cost more. It is just, the journey has just been like, horrendous dealing with lawyers.
The journey
is just about you remember anyways. But,
oh yeah, you're not going to forget
that anytime soon.
Yeah,
etched into my memory. Lawyers suck. Real estate agents suck, and you're going to spend way more than what you anticipated. So don't do it. But then also,
yeah, whatever you
just stay where
budget
you are.
For like moving and dealing with stuff, you always end up needing more.
Oh yeah. 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 I planned like an extra 10 grand just because you're going to need it. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. It's been, I mean, you guys have like drip fed us stuff as it's been happening. And we're like, oh my God, like poor Nick and Millie.
We started this journey literally a year ago. It was.
I mean, the offer was accepted in fucking February.
Yeah.
It's now July.
Yeah.
There is not an acceptable
it's
amount
almost
of time.
August.
That's mental.
Yeah. It's nearly August. That's like 6 months for
what's
fucking house sale to go through.
Do you know?
Because with leaseholds, you have to do with the landlord, the actual freehold owner, and this is a company who owns it rather than just a single person.
Right.
So like we had five whole weeks in this whole part where they just weren't responding to the sellers.
Useful.
And then so like
really
it was
useful.
But then I don't think the sellers were following them up enough, like pick up the phone, like I don't know, berate them, do something. And then once that sort of got finalized, our lawyer was having problems. And then we essentially were like to our lawyer, look, we sent a big email and like copied in the partner, so like the big chief guy of the firm being like, this is unacceptable, things are going too slow. Our lawyer then took herself off our case. She's like, look, I can't meet your needs, so I'm gone. I'm passing you on to my colleague. I was like, oh my God. And Millie is a lawyer herself, and she's like, we deal with some like clients that just berate us, like they get personal. Like, we didn't get personal, we're just like, this is not professional. They get personal to her and they still like keep them on, and she just like full on just dropped us.
Just dropped you guys.
And then,
see ya, peace.
And then so we had to get another lawyer, and then she had to go start again. I had to look over all the documents because she had to sign off on them. It was just thing after thing.
Fucking hell.
That sounds like a clusterfuck.
It has been, yeah. So,
Jesus.
Off the air, I'll tell you their name, so you never go with them, but...
So, at any point, you'd be just like, should we just fuck this off and look for another one? Because this is, like, taking too long now. Or are you, like, committed?
That would take more time, though, wouldn't it?
It would take more, yeah.
And I would have thought that you'd already have paid, like, certain fees and stuff.
Oh, you're already far enough into it that it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, God, 6 months.
That's
jeez.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, man.
But here you are now.
You've done it. Finally. Moving in tomorrow.
Yeah.
As a housewarming present, definitely need to get you a live, laugh, love sign.
Oh, please.
Yes. Yeah,
like,
welcome.
I want, like, big vinyl stickers. Like, we've got a big wall that you can put it on there.
Yeah.
That's, go on there.
Above the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With our faces on it.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. With that. Okay. We're adding that on now, guys.
Just a big, like, oil painting of your guys' faces. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone in WP, like,
but me.
Well, we did get Ellis and Kathy a little fern for their housewarming present, and I'm hoping it's still alive.
It's dead already.
It did start to die because Kath left it in the downstairs toilet, so I've moved it back into the center of the
He
big
needs
table.
To go with the poo frog. The poo frog was lonely.
There's not enough sunlight in there because
it's
of the
too toxic.
Crystallized window. Yeah, and plus like you know, combination of our turds. I mean, that's not really good
for
the planet.
Oh god.
Oh my god.
Just to clarify, it's a picture of a frog. A Japanese frog.
Yeah, you don't have a
poo
a
frog.
Yeah, it's the bog frog.
Made of poo.
I mean, we have the same white one. Gold. I think Kath and I bought it when we went to the British Museum.
Yeah, went to the British Museum. We got the same one.
Can't go on. Poo on the frog.
Okay.
What?
No, don't poo on the frog.
Shit
on
my frog.
Oh, God. This is impossible to stay away from poo.
Why are we so fecally orientated?
Sailor duck at the top.
There's a word for it. It's called fecally retentive.
Why?
And you were either orally retentive. Oh no, sorry, I'm getting that mixed up. Orally retentive or anally no. You know what? Just ignore that.
Are
last
you
what
eating
I said.
The poo now?
I was trying to.
Long story short, Jake wants anal.
Yeah, I'm pretty much.
Okay.
I was trying to regurgitate something I learned in psychology, but I can't remember what it was. But basically, kids that obsess with piss and kids obsess with poop. I think we're all the poop ones.
Apart from Ellis.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
What about?
This is a facet of my life that I have to deal with.
So you're a poop one by default.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Meme comments.
Should we, meme comments. Meme comments time.
Okay, do a new transition song into this, please. But we did that last week. We can do another one.
Oh, okay.
What's another song we can rip off?
Oh, he's getting the guitar.
Oh, it's getting the guitar.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, is this how it's going?
All right, okay, should I get my harmonica and horrendously play?
Oh, okay,
play?
Is this how we're going?
Do you want me to get my ocarina out?
Yeah, let's go. Let's all play an instrument horrendously.
Oh my god, is everyone getting instruments ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got my 7-string fan fret ready.
Right.
Oh god damn.
Okay, this is the first time we've performed this song. We have never played it before. Is everyone ready?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I feel a bit out of thing here though, because I'm mine's electric.
Well, that's okay. Just point the mic at it and hope for the best.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, you all ready? Okay, right. A one, a two, a one, two, three, go!
And stop. Feel bad when you're gonna win.
Meme comments.
Nailed it.
Perfect.
Nice. So,
thanks, guys. The name's Wide Putin. I'll be here all day.
Alice, do you want to do the first one?
What is the biscuit one?
No, skip the biscuit one.
Because the biscuit one doesn't really work, so you need to be able to see it.
Yeah.
So the first one is really stupid. Actually, they're both kind of dumb this time. So I think this was after the last week where we were off and then had the two streams at the end of the week, I think. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
But I think this is where I remember reading this. Let me get my smarm on. 2 seconds.
You don't need to do a voice.
Do a voice.
Is it really too much to ask for a schedule or even notice in advance of a stream? Stream 20 hours ago, but no notification at all? ? Sorry to be a prick, you are, but it's really not that hard to give a heads up about a stream on your social pages.
I mean,
in answer to your question, yes.
Yes,
yes it is.
Came
yes,
in sweet. Yes, I did reply to them,
we
and
are
I
busy.
Said,
yeah, I replied to him as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's difficult, but like, we talked about it last time. I'm not going to go into it again, but we do a lot of stuff, guys. We're not
There's
professionals.
There's so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff going on.
We're just
on.
People trying to make content for a YouTube channel.
And that was a week from hell as well, a bit, to be honest. Like, there was a lot going on.
The last the 2 weeks worst, have been insane.
It was the worst time to ask that question.
So just to give a quick rough overview of the last month, well, this month we've had so far. We've done two events, one in London, both of them in London. So that's 2 days dead. No.
Four days
dead, like straight away, if you include traveling and recovery. So that's 4 days out of the month or out of the month already gone. Then we had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 different sponsorships in the last month.
Yep.
one of which being a video which you will have seen by the time this comes out, I believe.
Yes.
And that was that took a and that had to be done in a week.
It's a very short space of time. Yeah. Generally, the episode production takes like 3 to 4 weeks to turn an episode around from us starting to play it to us finishing it, and it was half that time.
Yeah.
So a lot of you'll notice we didn't stream for an entire week.
We were recording like crazy.
Yeah, because we
And then we had two sponsor streams at the end of that as well.
Yes.
All of which require extra preparation. Yeah. Then there was the sponsor for Surfshark, which then means we need to record extra stuff and then do more titling and then script, etc., etc., etc. And you know what we're like, we don't like to do a normal advert unless we literally don't have any time. You can always tell if we're like really balls to the wall, because you'll just get Jake's face basically reading out a script, and that's it. That's if we have literally like a day to do it or something. Yeah. But otherwise,
or if the client wants it that way. More times than not, they don't really mind.
Yeah, and then at the same time, we're still keeping up with normal podcast production, normal episode production.
Yeah.
And everything else, and everything else that goes with it on top of that.
And then members were like not feeling well, so they weren't able to like be there.
I was out for the entirety of last week.
Jake and Gabby are buying a house in the same process that Nick was just talking about trying to purchase a house.
Well,
so they're doing fucking house viewings and all sorts and dealing with estate agents and whatnot.
That one's difficult because I feel a bit like it's suffering from success. Do you know what I mean? It's like we're in this point where we're like, we are so lucky to be in a position where we can do that, but it still burns you out. You know?
It's still busy, and it's at the end of the day, it's still work.
It's true. Yeah. I think it's relative. Like it is a result of doing well and being successful, but at the same time, it still fucking sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to go back and actually it'll help with the next podcast if we do answer that original question we're going to do this time, is what did we all do before this?
Yeah.
You'll really understand why we struggle so much with keeping up with what we're doing, because none of us have been in any sort of performance career.
Nope.
At all. Like Jake and I were behind the scenes boys.
Yeah.
He held a boom mic. I fixed people's computers.
Yep.
Gabby was actually a behind the scenes girl as well with graphic design and advertising. Yeah, this is just not a front facing role. Kath was front facing to an extent, but then hasn't.
I was all customer service.
Yeah, but you didn't work. Yeah, you haven't worked since what, like 2016?
2017.
And Nick, I don't think you were front facing either.
I like Gabby. Yeah.
There's an element of
I neither was Alex. Alex was phone based.
Yeah.
He was insurance.
There's a bit of it when it's like customer service. You know, but that's general people skills. But to the point where you're actually creating entertaining content.
Yeah, well, you're performing. I mean, we're literally acting stroke performing.
It's very different.
This is completely alien to any of us.
I think what would be really good is, like, the reason I wanted to skip over that one for this week is obviously because Alex has a migraine. It would be good to kind of get into the depth of that, because I'd love to hear his stories from insurance.
Yeah, definitely.
He's probably got 100%. Some from hell, you know.
So is it too much to ask for a schedule? Yes. When times are like this, we will forget the small things. Mm-hmm. I would say count your blessings for the big things and everything running normally.
Yeah. I would also like to point out though that three posts previous to this guy's post, Clover put on all of our socials that there won't be a schedule this
things gonna get a bit
keep
busy.
Keep an eye out for cell streams.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bitch, just look at that. No, it's too much. I want a schedule.
No, too much.
Yeah.
Like,
or what the alternative would be is just put a schedule out with nothing on it.
Yeah, you can just have a blank
just one. A blank graphic.
Yeah. I think Gabby should read out.
I think you should read this one, Jake, because it's really badly written.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Punctuation. Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine, fair enough. So this is on YouTube by the looks of things, on a video. So 3 minutes in, and I will admit me and the boyfriends will watch your vids in the background of sexy time, and there are two like 70-inch TVs side by side. No punctuation so far. So it's like insane boom boom loud on both sides. Confetti emoji. It's a good time if it's fairly casual, otherwise someone looks annoyed and not got off, crying laughing emoji.
I'm really confused about this entire situation.
Yeah,
me too.
I think I've worked out what they're saying, but I don't know for definite.
I think
it means basically they're having a group orgy with our content playing on
two 70-inch TVs,
and then occasionally it'll put someone off the orgy and they won't spaff and they everywhere. Won't that's what I got from it, I mean, but I don't know if that's correct.
No, that sounds about right. The only thing is, I can't tell if boyfriend and boyfriends was meant to be, because it might just be like
one boyfriend,
a typo. But if that is the case and there's multiple, power to you, get your goodies in. But there's two 70-inch TVs side by side. First of all, why? First of all, why? What are you doing?
There's no ambiguity on that one, because it's definitely typed out two 70-inch TVs.
When they say it's like insane boom boom loud on both sides, are they meaning boom boom on the TV, so or boom boom from the sex, or and the TV? Like,
I'm picturing it like they're in the middle, whatever bed, whatever,
and a TV,
and then two either. Either side.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then it's
boom boom loud on both sides.
Is it so like? I don't know, like during the act, if they get bored and it goes on,
either of them can watch.
Enjoying, like they can watch different episodes. But I'm watching the Minecraft one. I'm watching one on
The Sims,
on Apex Legends. Whatever.
And we start talking about shit.
So the reason why I think it's multiple is because of the end sentence where they say it's if it's fairly casual, otherwise someone looks annoyed.
Yeah, it someone does sound like plural, doesn't it?
That gives me plurality. Yeah. It doesn't seem like you're talking about your partner. It sounds like you're talking about someone in a group.
Yeah, unless
well,
they
it
mean
could be someone.
Someone
is in like either me or them.
Yeah.
Like, two
people. But would you use someone in that context? Because I
maybe English isn't their first language.
Usually, I think I would say one of us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that does make sense a bit.
Yeah.
What I know
is
we need
either
more
of us or something.
Mm. Yeah, we do. Yeah. We need break this down for us, but
break
not too
down,
much, because it will get banned by YouTube.
Yeah,
just draw a diagram.
Yeah, but like, also, does that mean people hear our voices while they roll?
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%.
While they do the
right poll in Reddit, how many of you have bonked?
How many of you have done the fuck fuck? Yeah.
Like, someone just listened to me in the background, and be like.
Think about this. So people, we know what Netflix and chill is, right?
Yeah.
People have almost definitely put on a stream of ours and had it in the background whilst things have gotten heated.
Yeah.
There's just no way that can't can't have not happened.
This is what I'm saying.
Almost definitely has happened. Probably more than once.
Yeah. Some hero who listens to this, create a little Reddit thing. And say, you know, have you bonked whilst watching a video or had a stream on the background?
Have you pre-made it
and then everyone upvote and get people to upvote, and let's see how many upvotes get on there for with people who have done the dirty
I mean,
whilst.
Yes. It makes sense.
Nick just coined the term pre-made and
pre-made
chill.
Pre-made and
nice.
Chill.
Oh, that's horrible.
That is so pre-made and chill, for fuck's sake.
What about pre-cum chill?
That's horrible.
It's like, it does kind of baffle me, because it makes me realize how many instances of yourself are being played around the world in places that you will probably never visit.
And then how many of those have been like, you know, have some kind of sexual connotation behind them whilst they've been watched,
or even just like, you know, some random bloke like me or you just slobbering around in your boxers watching it like in bed. Like, that's just when you actually think about it, it's like, that's really weird.
Like, but does that mean there's an existentialism to it in a way? Because it makes me think of like when we've heard of like soldiers, for example, who have been like they're on camp or they're on duty or whatever, and they say they listen to our videos, right? And they can listen to what's going on, and they're probably in a war-torn place that I will never set foot in, and yet my voice has been in that area. Widespreadness of that gives me a bit. And then there's people who've been balls deep while listening to Jake in the background being like, my god,
guys, like, put it in the comments, where's like the weirdest / where do you watch?
Let us know.
Could be fun to make a list for one of the next podcasts.
I know,
like,
my music
see
teacher
all the weird, places.
Listens to us on the bus.
On
the bus,
That's, cool.
That's fairly normal, though.
She listens to us on the bus.
And we want, like, you know,
I think it's
in the park whilst dogging or something. That's the stuff we're after.
I reckon the percentage split is like this. I think like 20% of people are commuting. 20% of people are taking a shit.
Yeah.
10% of people are probably watching it whilst
working.
I'd say working.
Yeah. Working.
I'd say a lot more than that.
You reckon?
Oh yeah. No, maybe another 20%. I think the smallest ones is probably like 1% while involved in some promiscuous activity.
Yeah. Doing a crime.
Do you reckon there are people banging whilst we're banging in The Sims?
It's getting meta.
Like, they're watching us banging The Sims and they're banging in real life.
Mark Zuckerberg burst through the wall. Like,
I'm sure it's happened. I mean, what, like, there's what? How many people have watched those videos? Like, probably over a million overall. At some point, someone's going to have had that video on.
Yeah.
And our characters will have been doing it. They will have as well.
That is kind of baffling. I can't. Wrap my head around that. It's so strange. Okay.
Maybe we should.
I was going to say something. I completely forgot what it was.
We should do another poll and have like where people watch it. Like, most
of the time. One time before I joined the channel, I watched a stream when I was in the bath.
Oh, there you go.
That was quite nice because I was.
I watch streams of videos in the bath quite often.
Yeah, but it was because you guys were streaming, but because of the time difference in Canada, you guys, it was your evening, and it was probably like, you know. For me, it was probably like midday type thing. I was just hanging out, and I hung out in the bath, and I just watched you guys naked.
Well, we weren't naked. You were naked in the bath.
Yeah. What? No. Wait, you guys aren't naked from the waist down?
No. Plead the fifth.
Okay, fair enough.
Cool. We should probably finish up.
Yep, cool.
Yep.
Oh, thank you, everyone, for joining and watching, etc., and listening if you're on the old podcast platforms. Nick, thank you for being a hero. Obviously, I know you're normally here just hovering in the background. Thanks for, especially with your moving house, thanks for taking Alex's place and covering for us. We do very much appreciate
Pleasure
it.
Pleasure to be here.
I know everyone fucking loves having you on.
Yeah, so. They love seeing his little face. Look at a little face. A little blonde boy.
Yeah, so obviously, as you know, if you're listening to this on the sort of Spotify and all those podcasting platforms, we do have a video version of this on YouTube. It's on Worst Premiered Ever Podcast, so feel free to watch that if you want. There's a little bit more context, especially on some of the more, there are some more visual-esque episodes like the wine tastings and whatnot, and some of the WikiHows where you get to see the articles and all that sort of stuff. Like those, it adds an extra little bit of a dimension. So if you're not moving about, I do actually recommend, you know, using those instead. It's a bit, it just adds a little bit of extra thing to it, and Nick does a great job editing it, so
thank you.
And if you do need to get up and walk away, don't forget, you know, they are on, if you're on YouTube, they are on the podcasting platforms. And we will see you all next week.
And
give it, drop some reviews, as long as it's not shit.
Also follow us on social media so we cannot post schedules. But do it, because that's where we will update you.
I mean,
we won't update you.
You know the big ones: Twitter, Reddit, Discord, etc. Join on all those. We are there. We do even actually have
a
social media person. Oh, X.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Instagram. That's our biggest one.
But yes, Instagram. But yeah, we'll work on the rest of them.
Yep. And then come back for next week for that. Should be the if Alex is back, that'll be the episode where we'll talk about what we used to do in the past, and hopefully we'll get some very funny stories about Alex's experience being a call handler for insurance. You can imagine how will have gone at some point.
Also, just a shout out to people, because I will need to be organizing the next alcohol tasting soon. I would like to put it out to just the audience in the chat, and just to see any celebrity
what should
wines.
We try?
If there's any particular that you're very keen on us to try, then we can potentially bump it up the priority list.
I have seen people commenting about Snoop Dogg quite a bit.
Yes, Snoop Dogg.
I'm going to emphasize wine. Not lager, not spirits, not gin, wine.
At some point, those, but right now, wine.
Yeah.
Right
Snoop
now,
Dogg's got wine.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. See you next time, everybody.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Have fun banging.
This is not looking good. Oh, like, bloody.
Trial in a dock.
That is a dock.
I look you know where you see the. The plaintiff sometimes has to like sort their hair out a bit, and they like Brillo cream it down.
Yeah.
And they're there with their like.